أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. All praise be to Allah, the Rabb of the worlds, the most compassionate, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment. You do we worship, and your help do we beg, and your help do we beg. Show us the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored with your grace, not the path of those on whom is your wrath, nor the path of those who have gone astray. The heavenly books number approximately 104, and the message of these scriptures are contained in the four famous books, the Zabur, Torah, Injil, and the Quran. And then the message of all these books are condensed into the Quran, and then the message of the Quran is in Surah Fatiha, and the message or the gist and the essence of Surah Fatiha is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We start off in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. We are declaring two factors here. We declare two things, that we are doing everything, and we do everything just by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Without the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we are nothing. And then the second thing that we declare and proclaim is Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our praises. He doesn't need us to petition Him. He doesn't need a single thing from us. So it is He that wishes to show mercy and love and kindness to us, that He's created this entire universe with all its different systems. So therefore He says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful. He did not need us, nor did He need us to praise Him. He didn't need anything of ours. But He wanted to show compassion, show love, and show consideration. So He created you, and in your creation He shows consideration, love, compassion. The word that is generally used, Barahima Khusruwani, and very close equivalent is, we say, a precedential compassion. In other words, the man doesn't deserve the compassion, but it is on account of the compassion and the love of the precedent that he's been compassionate towards someone. So the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It isn't that we deserve anything, but it is His mercy, His love, and His compassion that has given us existence. Then when we say Alhamdulillah, then praise are of two types. The one word that is used for praise is Alhamd, and the other word is used for praise is Madah. Hamd is for that type of praise that is direct, that is original. You praise someone for his original glory, his original compassion, his original beauty and perfection. So that's called Hamd. But if it is a reflected beauty, reflected compassion, reflected love, then that is called madah. So So Allah Ta'ala's praise is original, it is direct, and the love that we show amongst ourselves, the compassion, is a reflected beauty and reflected compassion of Allah Ta'ala. Like the sun is original light, and the light that we see in the earth that makes it, that brings about the beauty of the entire earth, the radiance and the splendor of the earth, is not of the earth. It is not something that the earth has produced. Rather, it was a reflected beauty of the sun that is seen on the earth. So the earth itself doesn't have any type of radiance. It doesn't have any type of brightness. But the brightness that it shows off is the brightness that is reflected by the sun. So exactly the same, in all the creation of Allah Ta'ala, the goodness and the beauty that is become visible to us is not of our own. It is the reflected beauty of Allah Ta'ala, the reflected compassion of Allah Ta'ala that has made us what we are. Alhamdulillah. So really all praise is to Allah Ta'ala, the Rabb of the worlds. When we say worlds, then every type and species of creation is called an alam. An alam really comes from the word alamat. In other words, it signifies a creator. The alamat is the thing that signifies. Like, for example, smoke signifies fire. It's an indication. It signifies the fire. So every world signifies its creator. So this world, this universe, with all its different beauties, departments, with all its different laws and systems and perfection, signify a creator that is beautiful, that is excellent, that is perfect, that is just. So overall, we talk of three worlds. One is the world that is visible to us, what we know as the Nasut. We can perceive and we can see. Then is the world that is not visible to us and we cannot perceive with our senses, that is called the Malakud, like the world of the Malaika, etc., etc. It is not visible to us. Then is the third world, and that is called the world of Lahut, in other words, realities. One is the creation itself, and one is the reality behind the creation. So that is a third alam, a third universe. So Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of all these different worlds and different universes. He is the Rabb. When we say Rabb, in other words, we talk of Rabb, and there are three elements in Rabb. The one element is the one that has given you existence from non-existence, with all the love, the care, and with all the consideration, He's developed you and He's brought you to your perfection. You were not in existence, and He granted you existence. Then the second element in Rabb is He doesn't only create and doesn't only given you existence, but after giving you existence, then He sustains you. All that which is required for your well-being, for your sustaining, and for your mental and physical welfare, He has done everything. He sustained you in all respects. So, from existence, from non-existence to existence, and when you exist, then He sustains you. And then, He doesn't just leave you like this. He's given you certain targets and certain goals, and that is the akhirat. In the akhirat also, He will see you well. So that is the third alam, the third element that is in Rabb. He gives you existence, then He sustains you, and then He leads you to that place that is eternal and that is of eternal bliss. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, most merciful. Like said earlier on, that Allah Ta'ala did not need us, but He's given creation that He may show you love, He may show you His mercy, He may show you his benevolence. But man is forgetful, and on account of his negligence, he feels, I can carry on, I'm enjoying, and I must carry on enjoying. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is coming to an end, and that is Yawmuddin, the day of judgment, and he is going to be the master of the day of judgment. When he's going to be the master, then nothing influences him, nothing affects him, and nothing can overrule him. He's perfect, his rule is perfect, and his control is complete and absolute. Nobody can influence his decisions. Nobody can do anything underhand. So he is the Malik of the day of judgment. When he is the Malik and he is the master of the day, then you better see that you've got your act correct. You got it together and you got it correct. Otherwise, with your wealth, you can't influence him. With your position and might, you cannot influence him. With your contacts and whatever you have, you can't influence him. So remember that day you will have to stand before him all alone. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْضًا. Before a sovereign which cannot be influenced, nothing can influence him. Not wealth, not power, not position, not piety, nothing can influence him. So remember, get your act in order so that the day you stand before him, then you are standing victoriously, you are standing with flying colors, you are standing confident that Allah Ta'ala will see you favorably. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. They say that this is the most important aspect in the surah, the most important lesson, that you do we worship and your help do we seek. In the path of righteousness, they say there are three levels in the path of righteousness. One is the outer dimension, what we know as the Sharia, the laws and the do's and the don'ts. And then there is the second dimension that is called the tariqah, that he is the inner dimension, getting the inner self right, the niyat, aspects pertaining to aqaid, and all that which relates to the inner dimension, get that right. So just getting the external right is insufficient. It's like a body without a soul. Get the outer right and get the inner right, then you have got some level of perfection. But then, after you have got the ibadat right and the outer right, it means the ibadat will require that at all times you conform with the sunnah and you conform with the sunnah with sincerity. It's not just a conformity, it's not just the presentation with sincerity. And iyyaka nasta'in, and you do we ask for you, we, it's your help that we ask for. So our inner self is also just towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our hopes, our expectations, everything is only with him. It is not with any person, it is not with anything, that we don't trust anything, we don't rely on anything. If there is a thing that we rely, we trust on, and we have our confidence, then it is Allah Ta'ala. That is why we recite the words, Allahumma la mani ali ma a'tayt, till the end, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All convey the same message, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. That it is your help that we do ask for. So this is the second level that we need to cover. One is the outer dimension and one is the inner dimension, to get that right. Then this outer and inner mustn't be a temporary thing. It must be a continuous thing. Sirat al-mustaqim. That path with istiqamat. It mustn't be one day's thing. It mustn't be a seasonal thing. It mustn't be a thing that is done just on account of convenience. Rather, it must be a continuous, consistent pattern. So that is called istiqamat. So the person has got all these three. He's got the inner correct, the outer correct. Then he's got istiqamat with him. He's got a consistent pattern. Then he's brought himself to the level of perfection, what we know, haqiqat. So we declare our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say we declare our worship to Allah ta'ala, what we are referring to is we give ourselves entirely to him on account of his greatness, on account of his majesty. We give ourselves entirely to him with a passion and with love. If we give ourselves to people, then sometimes we give ourselves to them partly, how much we can manage, or partly in certain things we give ourselves to them. We don't give ourselves to them entirely. And if we give ourselves to them, then it is not always that we give ourselves to a person out of love and passion. So giving yourself entirely, complete, yourself, your wealth, your intentions, your outer and your inner life, everything that relates to you, you give yourself to Allah Ta'ala with love and compassion, love and attention. So this is called ibadat. Otherwise, sometimes we give ourselves to a person, we show him respect, but that respect is the short term. We will respect a magistrate or a judge, we call him your honor, or whatever other titles we will give. But that is as long as he is in that position. The moment he's completed his term, then we don't ever call him your majesty and whatever else. We don't use those words. So that means it was just out of convenience that we showed some form of respect and we handed ourselves to him for just some type of convenience. Once he's moved away, then we don't want to see the person, we don't want to understand the person. So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam, he complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, the Quran Sharif says that we have taken our priests and our monks as gods, مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ اتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, whereas we don't worship them. Why does the Quran Sharif say that we have worshipped them? So Rasulullah explained, is it not a situation where your scriptures say certain things to be haram and forbidden, and your priest and your papa say that these are halal, and on account of their saying that haram you consider as halal, you know between yourselves and Allah Ta'ala that this is haram, this is no way halal, but you want some type of license. So that license, you get it from your priest. So you feel to yourself that the priest has got the right of Allah Ta'ala. Like Allah Ta'ala has got the right to declare halal and haram, so you feel that your priest has also got a similar right. So this is what is called worship. So that right to command halal and haram is exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. Nobody has got that right. An alim will just convey the message of Allah Ta'ala. He will not declare halal, nor will he declare haram. Then again, in worship, anything that resembles any other form of worship, then we are supposed to be shunning that as well. Again, Hazrat Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam, coming from a Christian background, so Nabi Sam asked him that remove that cross, remove that idol from your neck. So what was that idol? That idol was that cross that was suspended on his neck. So anything that amounts to worship of any other religion, any other cult, then we will have nothing to do with it. Like it's a New Year's Eve, we'll have nothing to do with it. A cross that symbolizes Christianity, we'll have nothing to do with it. A tree with a tail symbolizing Hinduism, we've got nothing to do with it. So anything that resembles any type of culture, any type of worship, then we will divorce, we'll break ourselves, we'll break away from that. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ.